Chapter 34.
At least I know where Andrea is now, Sophie said. I know that she is at peace. I'm going to have her buried at home, at Inglenook.
That's the right thing to do, I said. Andrea would not want to be anywhere else.
Do you need your cup filled, Grant?
Mom asked, bustling around the table with her old yellow coffee pot. He put his hand over the top of his mug.
No thanks, Miss Flora. I'm pretty well stocked up on my supply of caffeine for a week or three.
I agree, Aunt Sophie, Charlene said. It's Andrea's ranch. And by the way, I had a talk with Tom last night. By telephone, I decided to take your advice. If he had been kinder to Andrea, who knows? She might still be alive. I don't want Tom Mott, after all. For the first time, I noticed that Charlene's left hand was devoid of that big diamond. Mom put the coffee pot on the table and sat down next to Jackson Connor.
You know, Charlene, Sophie said, that ranch really should be yours by rights. It certainly makes sense. Jackson, do you think you could look at the legalities and see what we can do?
Jackson Connor nodded.
I'll be glad to look into it.
What about Erlene, Mom? Have you talked to her since Zach was arrested?
I've tried, but she won't speak to me. You know, she sat right by her son's bed all the time he was in the hospital, and she wouldn't see anybody. Now that he's in jail, she keeps all the curtains drawn in her house. I guess she and Jay Lee are grieving in their own way.
I'm glad I didn't hit Zach hard enough to kill him. I looked at these people sitting around my mother's table on this autumn morning and felt a warm rush of affection for each one. 2 days had passed since I opened my eyes and found myself a prisoner in Gary Worth's barn. I shivered and lifted my coffee cup.
Cold, Darcy?
Grant patted my shoulder. No, just thinking of some what-ifs, I'd like to propose a toast.
Hear, hear,
Jackson said. I want to thank all of you, my family and friends, for caring and for helping and for gathering here at Mom's table. You are special and dear to me, so I want a drink to all of you. Mom lifted her cup. I add my thanks to Darcy's. Sophie wiped tears from her eyes.
Words can't express how grateful I am for your help, Darcy and Flora and Grant. You didn't give up even though your own lives were in danger, and I'm very thankful that we have all come through this ordeal together.
Cups lifted and clinked together over the table. Grant, I said, if you hadn't come into the barn when you did, this wouldn't be happening now. Gary and Zach might still be scot-free instead of in the Ventress County Jail, and I might be.
But you're not, Mom said. And I don't know how to say thank you, Grant, for giving me back my daughter.
How did you know where to find me? I asked him. Grant rubbed the side of his nose.
We had been keeping an eye on Gary for a while. We suspected he was bringing in drugs, but we could never catch him. And we suspected Zach Crowder knew more than he should about it. Jim Clendon was staked out at Zach's, watching his place. When Jim saw Zach take out his ATV, he phoned me, and we followed him.
I smiled across the table at Jackson Connor. I'm glad you left your pocket knife on the kitchen table, Mr. Connor. If you hadn't, well, I don't know.
The point is, I did, Darcy. No use dwelling on all those what-ifs.
Mom scooted the yellow coffee pot across the table.
Grant, I just know you need some more.
Grant shrugged, picked up the pot, and poured a cupful. Grant, did you ever find out who it was at Spirit Leap that night? Or maybe it was my imagination.
Never found a thing, Darcy, sorry.
Sophie scooted back from the table.
Charlene and I need to go back to Amarilla. I've got to talk to some of Andrea's friends. They will want to come to her memorial service.
She was interrupted by a knock at the door. Mom looked at me questioningly. I'll go, Mom, I said. Just sit still. Jasper Harris stood on the front porch, twisting his ball cap round and round.
Miss Darcy, may I come in? I need to tell you all something.
Well, sure, of course, Jasper. Was he well? Jasper hid away from people. He wouldn't even come home if he saw a car in his own driveway. And now he was here, where he could plainly see there were 3 extra cars in front of my mother's house. I would have to circle this date on the calendar. Everyone at the table looked up as Jasper followed me into the kitchen. His face grew red, and he shifted his weight from one foot to the other. Mom smiled at him.
Jasper, would you like some coffee? I have cookies on the counter. I'll bet you are hungry.
No, thanks, Miss Flora, he mumbled. Sheriff, I reckon it's just as well you're here too, 'cause I got something to confess. I hope I ain't broke no laws, but well, I just gotta get it off my chest. I've been worrying about it.
Grant looked sharply at him.
Go ahead, Jasper.
I had wondered what Jasper knew about Andrea's burial. Maybe he was going to tell us that he saw who put her under Pat's garage floor. Jasper cleared his throat and ran a finger under the collar of his blue checked shirt.
There's actually a couple of things I gotta confess. I was out in the woods 2 years ago when Zach brought Andrea down that trail back of Worth's house. He was on his ATV, and he had her in a little trailer thing behind him. It was dark, and I didn't know it was Andrea, but after I heard she was missing, I just put 2 and 2 together.
Sophie made a choking sound and covered her face with her hands. Grant frowned.
Jasper, you should have come to me right away. You know that, don't you?
Jasper nodded.
Yes, sir.
Grant's chair scraped the floor as he pushed away from the table and stood up.
You may have to testify in court, Jasper. Don't you go running away anywhere, you understand? If you do, you'll be in trouble too.
Jasper bit his lip and looked at the floor.
There's something else. You remember Miss Darcy when you were out at Spirit Leap? Fact is, I was there too. I didn't think you saw me. I was back in the timber. You see, I'd been trailing a mountain lion. I saw one sneaking around our house, and I was afraid he was going to get poor old Murphy, my hound dog. So I got my rifle, and I started trailing him. He came right through your pasture, Miss Darcy.
I put up my hand. Wait a minute. Was that you that I heard back in the woods when I was sitting out at Spirit Leap? He nodded and dropped his head.
Afraid so, but you weren't in danger from me. You were in danger from that big cat.
I think he may have been watching you, Miss Darcy, and I scared him off when I came. I guess you heard him, or me. You jumped up and ran like a jackrabbit to the house. I watched until I knew you were safe back at Miss Flora's.
Jasper, do you have a knife? I asked.
Yep, one I got from Gary Worth quite a while back. He was giving them out for free, but I lost it somewhere around White. Did you find it?
Grant nodded.
She found it by that big boulder she was sitting on. Did you happen to be over there?
I guess so. I walked around some after I saw Miss Darcy was safe from the mountain lion. I'm sure glad you found it. It's a good knife.
I put my arms around Jasper and gave him a hug. You'll never know how happy I am that you told us this. Thanks, Jasper. You've been a good friend. He stood stiffly, enduring my hug, and turned even redder.
Stop by the office tomorrow, Jasper,
Grant said.
I've got your knife, and I'll be glad to give it back.
Jasper nodded and grinned. Then he bolted for the front door. We heard it slam behind him. Mom sighed.
Well, I guess the last part of the mystery is solved now. All the loose ends tied up.
Sophie pushed back her chair. She and Charlene stood up.
For some reason, I feel stronger than I've felt in a long time, she said. Maybe it's just because this horrible nightmare is over.
Nightmares. Hopefully they would quit plaguing my dreams one of these nights. After hugs and handshakes, Sophie and Charlene went out the door and climbed into Charlene's little sports car. Mom, when you got that letter from Sophie, we had no idea what reading it would get us into. But I'm grateful that Sophie knows now that her daughter is at peace. The phone rang. Not good timing on the part of the caller, but I excused myself and hurried to answer it.
Got that info for you, Darcy.
Max Sutton was always direct and didn't mince words. I'd know your voice anywhere, Maxie. What did you find out?
Gary's dad, the senior Worth, was in the residential construction business for many years, and evidently did good work and had a solid business reputation. Then the old man got sick and Gary took over. He changed the name of the business to Cobblestone Homes and changed everything else about it too. Used cheap materials, did shoddy work, and soon became blacklisted in the construction business. His dad died right before Gary did all that. I guess Gary inherited his dad's money. How long ago was that, Maxie? Probably 7 or 8 years. Everybody expected him to go through his wad and go bust, but suddenly, although he was putting up fewer and fewer buildings, his financial situation looked like it improved. There were speculations as to why this happened then. Rumors began to circulate about Gary and drugs. Just rumors, mind you. Nothing he could be arrested for. Thanks, Maxie. I believe you are right. Gary was heavily involved in drug traffic. But right now he's in jail, and we've found his wife. He killed her, Maxie, to keep her quiet. There was silence on the Texas end of the phone call. Then I heard Maxie draw a deep breath. "Will keep me posted," he said. "I'd love to break that story." And on that note, I replaced the phone and rejoined Mom, Jackson, and Grant. "An important call?" Mom asked. I smiled. "Yes, Maxie called from Dallas, filling in some blanks about Gary Worth." Grant groaned. "That is one name I'll be glad not to hear again. I'm finishing up some paperwork, and then he'll be the problem of the federal boys, I hope."
"I don't want to think about him again either, Grant," I said. In fact, I didn't want to think about anything more important than starting on that book Amy suggested, or whether the coffee pot was full. I would banish any thoughts of being involved in another missing person drama or murder or mayhem in any form. At least not for a long, long time. Then, Mom brought up another prospect. "We'll need to get started on that new house as soon as possible. It'll be the prettiest house in Ventress County and have enough bedrooms for everybody close to us." Wow! I thought she'd back out of her new house plans as soon as we distanced ourselves from that emotional scene on Granny Grace's land. "In fact," she continued, "I've already been looking at building plans and talking with a couple of construction companies. With a little luck, we should be able to move in by spring." The look she gave Grant was sly. "Then we'll put up a big sign with black and gold borders that says Tucker and Campbell, Private Investigators." That astonished me. My poor, brave mother had been through so much lately, yet she managed to keep her sense of humor. I grinned, thinking about what Jake had once said about her. "Your mom is one tough old gal." Grant slapped the table with both hands. "Oh, no, please don't put out any sign, Miss Flora. I don't think I can stand any more of the worry and sleepless nights I went through worrying if the two of you were going to get yourselves killed while you were trying to do things law enforcement should have been handling. Besides," he pushed his chair back, "I've got another job in mind for Darcy." He got up, came around the table, and reached for my hand. He didn't need to elaborate on what job he had in mind. His warm blue eyes said it all. I rose and went into his arms. The end.